Have you ever had a really good job and it was going along just great, but you knew that there was something else? You knew that there was something more that really captured your attention, captured your passion, and drove you to that next stage, that next phase of life, where you could help others more, where you could transform lives more. Have you ever felt that feeling? Let's talk about that today. Intro took a little bit longer than planned, had a little bit of glitch in the background, but you know that's what happens sometimes when you're doing stuff live, as we do on the What's My Story podcast. But I'm glad that you're here with us. I'm Robert Kennedy III, RK3, that's me. We have another amazing guest, another amazing show for you today. I want to invite you to do a few things for me. If you want to just get connected even further with the show, if you want to get in connection with the giveaways, all the different resources that we have, do me a favor. Boom, right here on my left. Go ahead and text me 410-936-4049. 410-936-4049. If you want to be a supporter of the show, there are links in the chat and in the description above. rk3tv.live/BMAC. Definitely click that because we appreciate your support. It helps us to really bring this great content and amazing stories to a lot more people. Also, if you're not able to watch us live, hey, listen, every Thursday morning, we've got the audio version of the show for you. So you can just hop on over to whatsmystorypodcast.live. Now, oh my goodness, our show today is brought to you by Rescue Event Planning. If you have an event and you want it to be handled, definitely head over to rescueeventplanning.com and they will take care of you. So let's do this thing. We've got an amazing, fabulous, fabulous gift guest today. My guest's name is Adrian Salisbury. Adrian has or had a job. He had a really great photography job. My goodness. And I don't know what happened, but there's something amazing that happened to him. Something shifted, something changed in his mind, and he decided that he was going to go into the world of entrepreneurship and never, ever look back. Let's tell that story. Adrian, my friend, what's happening?
Hey, Robert.
How are you doing today, brother?
Yeah, very good. Good to see you.
Same here. Listen, number one, so glad that you're here today. This show partly exists because of your influence, because of the recommendations that you have made through Ecamm, through equipment, et cetera, we're here because of your willingness to just share your gift with the world. So thank you for that, man. I appreciate that.
That's fantastic to hear. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, awesome, man. So let's ask a very big question. Who is Adrian Salisbury?
Do you know, I find this harder and harder to define, actually. It used to be, you know, I used to be sort of saying, hey, I'm the guy that can make entrepreneurs look great on video and, you know, really trying to make video easy for people, because this is, you know, we'll get into this, but this was a part of my journey, really, is people saying, how do you do that? And wanted to just help people. But now it's like, well, am I the Ecamm guy, or am I the YouTube guy, or the video guy? So, or am I a course creator that,
So, how does it feel, though? How does it feel when people just kind of recognize you? I mean, they see your headshot, or they you go to social media marketing world or some big event, and they're like, "Hey, here's that Adrian Salisbury. Hey, can we take a picture? Yeah. Can we do a selfie?" How does that feel, man?
I think some of them think I own Ecamm, because I'm kind of the face of Ecamm to a lot of people. I do all the tutorials and things, and I'm there on the homepage. And I have messages from people going, can you do this? And, you know, it would be great if you did this. And I'm like, it's not my product.
Love it.
It's absolutely given me that platform, really, to be seen. And yeah, I mean, Ecamm's incredible, isn't it? And all of our, all the guys that we look up to are using Ecamm. It's fantastic to be able to help them and to actually be seen on that at that level with them.
Love it. Love it. So you're doing ECAM now, and you've got the ECAM Academy and a lot of different things that have to do with technology and online storytelling. But that's not where you started out. Tell us a little bit about where you started, man. What was the first job really that you had that you enjoyed? Let's start with that.
I have, and I think this is probably true for a lot of people, you know, the journey is ridiculous. You know, some people would assume I'd been through film school and done all that journey. I started in a shop because I wanted to get into sales. Straight out of school, did that. I then ended up going into a landscaping business with my parents, like a contracts manager with about 30 men that were working for him. Did that for about 7 years. Realized it really wasn't what I wanted. Went into web design and photography, and really found that the photography was my groove, and stayed with that for about 15, 16 years. So isn't it weird? You know, I talk to, well, even my own kids, but others, and they go, I can't settle on this first job. Or I have people saying, how do you get into photography? How did you do it? And I'm thinking, my journey's ridiculous. It's just doors opening at certain points in your life, I think, and going, that looks good. Let's go for that.
So what is it that tells you, though? You said photography, you kind of found your groove. What is it that tells you that photography, or anything else for that matter, is your groove? How do you know that?
Well, that photography for me, I knew I was in this landscaping, but I was with my parents' business, naturally kind of went and joined. It was an opportunity, did okay at it really, but I wasn't passionate about it particularly, but I loved photography. And actually, my first or second paycheck when I left school got me a Pentax SLR camera, and I just loved it. I actually got to this point in my parents' business when I was supposed to take over. My dad was getting ready to retire. I was being, set up to take over. I could have had a great career at it, but I just panicked and went, this isn't what I want to do. Yeah. And we hadn't long set up a web design, a website for that landscaping business. And I thought, I like this. You know, I'd been involved in prepping that. So I was shifting to do web design. The photography came in. I think this is again kind of opportunities and just being out there. My wife was a governor at our kids' nursery. I went in, I offered to go in and take some photos for them. The web design company that were doing their website went, who took these photos? Because they're better than our professional guys doing. Gave me an interview, and I became their freelance photographer for probably about 7 years. And all I did was I would go into schools, colleges, and just take those kind of lifestyle shots of them. So it was, like you say, for some, it would have been a dream job. But I wanted more. I wanted something else. I was thinking, to be honest, it was an age thing. And I'm thinking, do I want to be doing this when I'm 60? Or, you know, at what point am I too old to do this? So I think that was probably going through my head. You would know Pat Flynn. I kind of listened to this, amongst other things, his Smart Passive Income podcast. And while I'm driving to these jobs, I'm just plowing my way through these podcasts going, I love this idea. You know, something in me was going, I could do that, you know, just this idea of creating something and selling it and not needing to be driving around. And if you're sick, you don't get paid and all of that.
So you're starting to have this feeling that you want to do something different, right? You have your job and you kind of enjoy it, but you want to do something a little bit different. What are some of the challenges now that are starting to enter your space? What are some of the things that you're struggling with?
It's embarrassing looking back on it, really, but I'm kind of looking at these things going, and you're just attracted to anybody that's putting an advert out about these different things that you can do. And it was all kinds of ideas of setting up this little kind of 5-page blog, and then you put ads on it and you do this and you'll make money doing that and other things that were like it. And I remember hearing somebody just saying, you know, or was on about blogging, what could I blog about? And they just said, well, you know, what could you talk about? you know, easily. What could you come up with the next year's worth of blog posts about? And I'm thinking, well, photography, I love helping people. And it became a very obvious solution, really, to say, okay, let's create something online about this. But the challenge really is not getting the time to do it and invest in it, is because you've got to keep paying the bills and you've got to be out there. And I was just falling out of love less with the day job. And so I'd be getting up early to get an hour or two in, or I'd try and say, right, I'm not going to work Friday. I'm going to take Friday on this new business. And I think that was the hard thing, not having a clear path or anyone to say, right,
wow,
do this. Well, actually, that's not true. There were lots of people telling me what to do. But actually, something that really worked and was proven, I think that's the hardest thing. And it is I mean, I'm like it now. If I get an idea in my head, I'm like, I want it. And I can't shake it until I've kind of, it's an ADHD, I think. I got. but I'm like, I get an idea in my head and I've got to kind of pursue it. And this is a thing I drove everybody mad, really, with this, trying to chase down this dream. And I think one of the biggest challenges as well is people don't get it. You know, I'd be talking to my friends and I'm saying, oh, I'm going to set up this online course, or I'm going to do this online training and it'll replace my job. And they're just looking at you going, yeah, good luck on that, you know. And you got to really believe in yourself, and where is that coming from? You know, you're listening to these salesmen on one hand going, you can make a million in a year and just buy this program, and your friends and family are going, yeah, not quite convinced about this. And it's a real tension of just being quite clear and trusting yourself, really. It can be very hard for people.
Yeah. So I want to ask, I think one of the things that you and I were talking about a little bit before is just that tension. You've got this idea, you've got this vision, you've got this thought that you want to do something different. You want to chase this dream. And people in your circle, your family, they may kind of turn their heads to the side a little bit, not always because they don't believe in you, but because they know the challenges. They know that there are very real bills to be taken care of. So I want to ask you a little bit about how you navigated that piece of things. You've got a wife, you've got a spouse, you've got a family to take care of. How did you navigate moving into this space with the uncertainty of entrepreneurship? So before we jump into that, I just want to hear a word from our sponsor, Rescue Event Planning.
Are you still struggling to plan your next event? Let us rescue you. It's handled. It's handled. It's handled. I am Melissa Jakes, CEO and founder of Rescue Event Planning, the Olivia Pope of live events. Consider your next event handled.
I love it. I love it. The Olivia Pope of live events. Listen, thank you so much, Rescue Event Planning, for being a show sponsor. We hope that you are able, from this connection here, to handle the events of a lot of the people that are watching this episode. So let's jump back to Adrian. Adrian, so you've got this idea and you've got to convince your spouse that this is doable. Well, this makes sense for us.
let me backtrack a little bit first, because there's quite a key point for us both, really, before that I'm kind of, I'd got to the point of creating this online course, a beginner's guide to photography. I spent over the Christmas period, while nothing much was going on in the business, so I kind of went crazy and I built out this course, put it online. Nothing happened. And I'm going, it's because I'm playing at this, I can't quite get to it. And I remembered, I just was thinking, if I could just get a, you know, 3-4 months clear of the job, if I could get, I was actually saying, and I was praying about it as well, £10,000. If I could get £10,000, and I was thinking of a loan, but I've got to convince Rachel that we could take a loan out for this. And James Wedmore, actually, I spotted up one of these adverts and it really kind of touched me. It was like, you know, talking about this, you've put this course out and it's tumbleweed and nobody's coming and I'm going to help you. And I resonated with him because I knew him and had watched his videos. But I'm going, again, if I could just get this £10,000, I was praying about it. I was saying to Rach, hinting, and literally I got this message from my mum saying, check your bank account, totally out of the blue. I hadn't mentioned any of this to her. They just put £10,000 in our bank. And I was like, I got on the phone and dad went, or mum actually answered, and she said, yeah, dad's actually been kept up a couple of nights. He's had like a dream or a prompting, and he said, I just feel like, he said, we need to help Aid with his business. And he'd given me this £10,000. And for me, this was like the first of a couple of massive green lights. And I'm saying to Rach, my wife, look, come on, you know, this has got to be a God thing. I totally believe this is the right path. It suited what I was wanting. That was the first of these. But it wasn't you know, that's quite extreme. People don't get that. But yeah, for me, it was a massive green light that I needed. But then we're, you know, it wasn't an overnight thing. We're still, you know, that's probably been 3 years then of still grinding away at this. And yes, we got something up. Yes, we started our Pro Video Academy. We had good success, but it was by no means replacing the day job. And we still then got to a point where it was, where are we? Christmas, 2019 Christmas. We're getting towards it. Even more, I'm kind of clinging on to this, and friends are going, are you sure? You've been at this for a few years now and it's just not kind of getting there. And bless her, my wife, this is what we're hinting at. You know, my wife's saying to me, who's my biggest fan? You know, she's incredible. But like you say, she's the sensible one. And she's saying, at what point do you go, actually, this isn't working? And we kind of agreed that we would get to the end of 2019. And I kid you not, we had a preacher come to our church a couple of days before, literally between Christmas and New Year, she preached. I've never met her before. Well, I've met her, but I've never spoken to her. She's visited before. She literally came down from the pulpit. We were about three rows back, and she came straight to me at the end and went, I didn't want to miss you in the crowd afterwards. She said, I really feel prompted to tell you, God's got your business. And amongst other things, it was through partnerships. And we just sobbed because we were right at this point of giving up. It blew me away. And thankfully, we did sort of carry on with it. And again, it wasn't overnight. But 9 months later, we started up our Ecamm Live Academy. And we were perfectly positioned then coming into last year with COVID and everything else. And it's just gone from strength to strength and got an amazing relationship with the guys at Ecamm. That's funneled into other things that we've done. So yeah, it's it's you couldn't write it really, but I honestly couldn't have done it without those, you know, being a man of faith to kind of get those confirmations and just confirm that I wasn't losing my mind and chasing down something that wasn't right, but just to go, no, this is what I want, but maybe it was timing or something else, who knows?
Yeah, so man, I think when I hear stories like yours like this, it feels like there are what other people might refer to as coincidences taking place here, right? You're starting to do this thing, and it just so happens that the pandemic happens, and you're perfectly positioned to leverage what you're doing for communities. How do you advise people who are just like, you know, I want to do something, but I'm not sure what to pick? I mean, it's for people on the outside, it seems like you picked the perfect thing, and
I know
everything just fell in line for you. So how do you advise people, you know, what do I pick? How do I know what step to take when it doesn't seem like everything's clear?
I never came into this online world ever expecting to teach video. When I signed up with James Webmore, I'd got a beginner's guide to photography course. And I could have been blinkered and gone, right, this is what I'm doing. But I'm there in this community and I'm on lives and group calls and people are going, how do you do your video? That looks so good. You know, you got to tell us how to do this. And so I kind of went, all right, I'm going to shelve this photography thing that I've been struggling to sell, and I'm going to work with these guys over here. And I'd literally got people in this community going, if you can create a course, I will be your first customer. And so I do think having that flexibility and not being too fixed in what you're doing, we've built this up really. So that's been my core, is helping people. You know, this difference between studios, certainly a few years ago, the idea of that studio quality video and just using a webcam at home seemed a massive goal for really. And I'm kind of going, right, I've got to help people because this isn't hard. It's just getting set up, as you know, with a camera and things like this and the tools. So that, you know, that naturally led to me to go, well, I love Ecamm, I'm going to help people use Ecamm. And I love YouTube, so I'm going to help people use YouTube. And just kind of trying stuff. And I think not being too, certainly, you know, I help a lot of entrepreneurs just starting out really. And I think one of the things for me was getting really attached to that webinar and that big launch and what if it doesn't work and all of this sort of feeling. And I think now I would like to go into it a lot lighter and go, do you know what? I'll try it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, I can move to something else. And what I love about this, you know, as an online course creator, I could really build a course around anything. And I said this just recently. Owen, my son, works with me in the business as well now, and I'm saying to, you know, both of them, we're not, if anything happened with our relationship with Ecamm, or if anything happened with YouTube and that, we can actually pick up any other product really and create a training around it. Now we've got this model and we know how to teach, we know how to create these courses that people enjoy being in. I feel like actually we can't really go wrong now. We could jump down any of these routes if we wanted and create multiple courses. So I think, you know, getting going, it's got to be something that you're passionate about, but maybe not being too blinkered. Keep your ear out what other people are suggesting or asking for. It might be that people keep reaching out to you and saying, how do you do this? Or, you know, and you go, all right, maybe I can serve over there.
Yeah. There's something that you kind of rushed by, and I want to point this out for people. You said that you were in this James Wedmore course, and people kept asking you about how your video looked and how you did certain things. And what I want to point out there is that a lot of times, even when we're uncertain, it's worth it to show up as your best, right? Yeah. Even when you're not clear, it's worth it to go above and beyond what you do know. And that is what becomes attractive to people, that you're focused in on something there. So, I mean, do you want to add anything to that? Because that was a critical point that I really want people to get.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, and you go back 2-3 years actually, and live streaming was very much grab your phone, do this. Well, maybe a little bit further back than that, but you know, it was, live streaming was kind of the raw, you know, didn't matter if you're in your PJs and things. And I was at that time going, I'm not ready for this. But then when I used Ecamm and realized that I could use these tools and show up with the same quality and standard as in a video, and you're right. And I'm sort of shouting and saying this to people, look, this is embarrassing actually. You know, your content might be great, but it's like a blurred little screen you've got. The audio is really bad. Who's going to take you seriously? Right. And I have so many customers now who message me back and go, I'm getting so many compliments about my video, and people saying, wow, what have you done? And not only for what it's doing to their audience, but you really boost your confidence. Robert, you must know, you must get the same kind of feedback. You know, it makes you feel great when people go, wow, you look really good.
Yep, absolutely. So
critical, you're right. And that's why I've stayed in this. That's why I'm passionate about trying to make this as easy and simple as possible to people, to get them out there and looking their absolute best.
Yeah. So I think let's talk about that for just a second here before we're kind of landing the plane. But does it make that much of a difference? I mean, because I'm going into the Ecamm community yesterday and today. I even saw some comments where somebody was talking about their camera, and I saw some responses like, it doesn't really matter, what people don't care what you look like as long as your content is good. And, you know, talk to me about that. Respond to that for me.
Well, if you're anything like me, you're kind of doing this all the time, you know,
right.
And I genuinely, I was looking forward to somebody's, I can't even, thankfully I can't remember who they were, but I was looking right. forward to this live interview with somebody. They were bringing a guest on and talking to them, and to me they were a big player. They literally showed up, and I thought they'd kind of done this over the front of the lens, and they'd got a big window behind them and I could hardly see them. Their dog's yapping at the side and they're trying to deliver this training. I honestly lasted about a minute and I thought, I cannot listen to this. You know, it is so bad. Yeah. And I get that, yes, the content is the important bit, but, you know, certainly YouTube videos, we're off there in a few seconds, and it's all about, I'm making this judgment, is this person going to be any good? If they're doing a review on a bit of equipment or something and it looks like they're in their bedroom and, you know, this is a really, you know, this is someone just having a play at this, chances are I'm out of there. And I think if it looks like they've put some investment in this, they're taking it seriously, I'm kind of more expectant that this is going to be worth me listening to.
Right. Yeah. And I want people to, I think there's a balance there. I think one of the things that's happened over the last year here is that because of the pandemic, especially those of us in the live streaming space, we've decided to upgrade and spend more money on camera. So I think, to be fair, some of the argument is, hey, do I need to buy a $1,000 camera if I'm going to be doing, you know, teaching versus buying a $200 Logitech Brio? You know, what's the difference there, and where do I make the balance? So I think maybe the last question that I'll ask to you about this is, how do you decide when I need to spend more on equipment to make me look a certain way? What are some of your criteria for that?
Well, firstly, I think the equipment doesn't need to be expensive. I think Panasonic G7 is what I've been recommending for years. You can get one of those used now for about $250, put a nice lens on it, a microphone that only needs to cost about $20, $30 on top of that. We're not talking about thousands particularly for this equipment, but I think if you're looking at your own videos and actually you're looking at others around you and going, yeah, I need to up my game,
right?
Then I think that's the time, because you're doing yourself an injustice as well. And if you're just, you know, when I earn this money, I'll up my game and I'll do this. But actually you're looking and you're not confident, you're not feeling happy, you're sort of putting, almost apologizing with this content you're putting out, and it's gonna come through. And I think if you can show up looking polished, it'll absolutely make you feel so. And I think it pushes you to create way better content anyway.
Yeah. So take us out, man. Give us your last word of advice, and also tell us a little bit about what you have coming up. I know you've got Ecamm Live Academy already, and you mentioned earlier, I think, to me that you've got some secret stuff in the background that you're cooking up on YouTube as well. So give us the last word and share with us how we can reach you and what you have coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. We're a little way out from the next, we 4 times a year we run the Ecamm Live Academy. So 19th of July, I think it is the next one. But by all means, sign up. There'll be a link on that Adrian Salisbury page. You can go over and find out more about that. YouTube, if I were giving somebody starting out really trying to get found, trying to get seen, or even just trying to prove and see, is this idea of you, has it got legs? Is it worth pursuing? I really encourage you to give YouTube a try. It's totally free. Set up a channel. The trick really is coming up with the right videos, and it's not the videos you want to make. It's really trying to think of your audience, what pains, what questions are they asking, because they are literally on Google right now asking in questions, how do I do this, how do I set up that, what's the best this or that. And if you can help them with it and get in front of them, firstly it will just confirm for you that yes, there is a market in here, there is something worth pursuing. I would say about 80% now of all of our customers first discovered us on YouTube. And so I'm extremely passionate about YouTube. And so yes, after our Ecamm Academy, we run the YouTube Academy, which is the same format. It's a 2-week kind of boot camp. really helping people get clear on, okay, this is my audience. These are the things they're struggling with. They're the videos I'm going to make. Right, let's make a 6-month plan of weekly videos and let's get you up and out there. And honestly, it's the best thing we've ever done. We don't do Facebook ads. I'm not great on social, but every week we put a YouTube video out, and it's absolutely getting us positioned that people go, oh, it's that guy. Really recommend anybody have a go at a YouTube channel, and yeah, just keep going. We've done over 400 videos now, so it's a long-term thing, but that would be my big advice, Robert, is use YouTube as a marketing tool, and just initially, if no one's watching your videos, it might be kind of indicating that you need to pivot and try something else.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Listen, if you are interested in learning a lot more about live streaming through Ecamm Live, if you want to get better on YouTube, if you want to really up your video game, go check out Adrian, adriansalisbury.com. Adrian, it's been a doggone pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Listen, if you want to make a difference in the lives of others, they've got to know that you exist. If you want to help people transform, then you've got to be able to share experiences, share paths, share processes that allow them to know how they can get from here to there. In order to help people make a difference, you've got to share your story. So, as I said at the end of every show, everything that happens to you in life is your stuff. Your stuff is your story, and your story deserves a stage. I'm Robert Kennedy III, RK3, and I'll see you next time on the What's My Story podcast.